Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good to have you along. I hadn't paid that much attention to this because you may have heard me mention before, cannabis products are legal, but I'm not the market. I never have been, all the way from the very beginning, back when the product was illegal. It's just, at first it was beer did it for me. As far as I was concerned, I didn't need to. And I'm not saying I didn't try it, okay? I'm not trying to pull a Bill Clinton here. Yes, it was illegal, and I tried it, and I thought, nah, I don't like this. I don't like smoking anything, first of all. And that's how it was available at the time. And secondly, I just I said, I'll stick with my beer, which has morphed now into being more bourbon and cocktails and that kind of thing. So I don't pay that much attention to the legal market other than when there's a story about it. And there is now. Cannabis retailers in Ontario are increasingly worried about thefts they believe are happening because of rules requiring store interiors and products be shielded from view from the street. Why is that put in place in the first place, and how is that a problem for the retailers? We don't shield the view of the LCBO, do we? Are the pot shops doubling as a strip joint? Like, what exactly is going on here? Joining me to talk about this, lecturer with Ryerson University and a cannabis business expert, Brad Poulos. Good morning.
Morning, Jerry.
Am I wrong? Is there actually a strip operation going on in there?
No, you're not wrong. And you made my main point, which is that if you look at alcohol and sort of juxtapose that against cannabis, the more dangerous product we allow children in the store, we certainly don't obscure the windows. And while we don't allow them to touch it or buy it, they can certainly be around for the purchasing experience. And yet with cannabis, we've got this notion, both at the federal and at the provincial level, that it somehow has to be covered up to protect the youth of our country.
All right. Now, as I admitted here, Brad, I'm not the customer, so I'm not wandering into the stores. I guess maybe if I were downtown more or was in touch with some of these stores more as I was walking by, I might walk into one just to, get familiar as a talk show host with what's going on in there. But when I have seen photographs and everything, they look like they could be like a tea shop or something.
Yeah, many of them sort of follow that kind of a vibe, for sure. They've tried to create a funky environment, a place that's sort of, visually pleasing to be in and that kind of thing. And what's strange is that, even if we allowed the cannabis packaging to be shown, it's all opaque. It's just black jars and blue envelopes, and you still aren't going to actually see the product. Although the regs actually they also extend to the accessories as well. So heaven forbid, we would not want a young person to see a bong as they walked past a cannabis store. The funny thing is, you can walk past a head shop and you can look at a bong.
Well, and you can go into a convenience store and see cigarettes.
There you go. Well, actually, the packaging has been obscured for a while, but a lot of the other things that go along with it, rolling papers and pipes and all that sort of stuff, is not hidden as we all know.
I guess cigarettes are more hidden than they used to be, but still, it's pretty obvious what they're selling. So,
that's right.
Not hard to figure out. Now, Brad, my understanding of the problem that the pot shop owners have with this is not so much that they want their windows open to display their wares. They are worried that because the windows are covered, frosted, however it's done, that if somebody breaks into the shop, they can break in there and a passing police car or whoever would never know there was anybody in there.
Yeah, and it's not good. I mean, it does happen. So there have been stick-ups in cannabis shops, most notably in Alberta, but here as well. And of course, you could never prove cause and effect, but I'm sure that it gives some comfort to the bad guys that they can't be seen while they're robbing a store because of this obscuring of the windows. I should be clear though, the rules do not require the windows to be obscured. So what they actually say is that you must make sure that cannabis and accessories are not visible from the exterior of the premises. So with the right layout, you could actually have you know, transparent windows, and still be within the regs, you know, making sure that nobody could see the product from outside the store. Now, that's not true in every province, but in ours, it certainly is. In British Columbia, though, they actually require the obscuring of the windows, so they're more explicit at the provincial level.
Somebody points out here, Phil from Sarnia writes in, that we're obscuring the windows so cannabis products, et cetera, cannot be seen from the street. However, with patio season upcoming, you can walk past people pounding down pitchers of beer, and you can see them do it.
Yeah, we've talked about this many times. You know, the rules just do not make sense when you compare them against alcohol, and especially when you look at the fact that the alcohol is just so much more dangerous than cannabis by, you know, any objective measure, really.
All right. How is the business doing in Ontario?
It's picking up. So they have actually passed the 50% threshold in terms of, you know, the legal market actually capturing more than half of the total market. And so that's, I think that's an important milestone. The reason why cannabis struggled at the beginning was there were three big problems: price, access, and choice. And all three of those issues have really been dealt with, you know, in the legal market. So we have lots of access now, probably too many stores. In fact, you and I have talked about that a couple of times. And then we've got, you know, good choice. We have all of the edibles and the drinkables and all that's here now. And the sort of more surprising one is the fact that the pricing has really come down and is challenging the illicit market pricing.
Brad Poulos is with me, lecturer with Ryerson University and a cannabis business expert. I noticed that you didn't mention in your list of factors there quality.
I think, you know, quality was really not the reason why the illicit market customers didn't move over. There was some argument early on that the quality in the legal market was not up to snuff, and that maybe that's true, but we're 3.5 years in now, and quality is absolutely not an issue.
Somebody wrote in here, Brad, maybe they are blocking the windows because some people are embarrassed to be seen buying pot.
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem, too, is that this entrenches the stereotype. You know, so what this does, this adds to the stigma, you know, that cannabis never should have been legalized and all of that sort of stuff by frosting the glass over or making people somehow obscure the product. So one of the reasons I don't really agree with that part of the regs.
Do you think it will eventually become true? Because one of the reasons the Prime Minister gave for legalizing pot was to take it out of the hands of the criminals. And you said that the legal market is now surpassed 50%, but that means there's still a thriving illegal market.
There is. There's no doubt about it. First of all, there's, you know, the thing is, every cannabis user up to 3.5 years ago was involved in an illegal transaction every time they bought cannabis. So we know that they're comfortable with it. So if you've got a good relationship with a dealer that has access to, you know, a consistent supply of good quality product at a good price, then I could see why people are staying with them. However, I also think it's a feather in the cap of the legal market that they've done such a good job this early on to pull half of the customers over. It actually took longer in Colorado and Washington.
You know what I've yet to hear? I mean, I've been away from work for a couple of years because of COVID and everything, but a very common thing is, hey, you want to go for a drink after work? I have yet to hear somebody say, you want to go for a toke after work?
Yeah, it's just not the same.
It's not the
First
same.
First of all, if you and I enjoy a beer, we can enjoy that over the course of, you know, you and I could nurse a beer for half an hour if we wanted to, right?
Yeah.
The cannabis experience is a little quicker. So the other thing is, I think with COVID, I think the idea of sharing cannabis products among users, like you and I don't share a beer, right? We don't pass back and forth. And I think that a lot of people, you know, they're kind of happy that what COVID has done is gotten rid of the idea of sharing joints. Those of us that are germaphobes.
Yeah, don't Bogart that beer.
Right.
Yeah. Brad Poulos of Ryerson University, thanks very much.
Anytime, Jerry.